We are living in the midst of an epidemic of loneliness. Despite the fact that as a global community, we are more connected now than ever before. In her book, The Loneliness Epidemic, Susan Metz takes a deep dive into the data that confirms this very troubling and growing reality. Although she puts heavy emphasis on the crisis of loneliness in American culture, Metz did conduct her research in 25 countries and in 9 languages. And the results point to a loneliness epidemic that cuts across generations and gender and culture. Late last year, the World Health Organization declared loneliness to be a pressing global health threat, with the Surgeon General of the United States claiming that its effects on human mortality are equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Now, the causes and factors around this growing epidemic of loneliness are indeed complex. But through her research, Metz reaches an important conclusion about how to respond to this epidemic of loneliness. And other social scientists and psychologists seem to be saying the same thing. One of the essential elements necessary to protect against loneliness is the nurturing of one's sense of belonging through meaningful relationships. Every human person has a fundamental need to belong. God has hardwired us for relationships. We need connection. We long to belong. We need to feel that we are known and loved and safe in order to truly flourish as God intends for us to do. Now, St. Augustine of Hippo had much to say about this innate need we have in our search for belonging. He claimed that so much of our restlessness and personal disappointments result from trying to convince ourselves that we have found our belonging in things other than in God. And we hear this expressed in the words of Augustine's well-known prayer, "For you made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Our grounding, our belonging, our sense of being known and loved comes first and foremost through a relationship with God who created us out of love. And perhaps nowhere else in Scripture is this more eloquently and poetically expressed than in today's Psalm 139. I know it's a beloved hymn for so many of us and expresses the love of God that is profoundly personal, yet universal and all-encompassing. Now, we first heard in our Old Testament reading the call story of the young boy, Samuel. And if it sounded familiar, you'll remember that last week, Pastor Andy's inspiring message reminded us that we all share a calling to respond to God's invitation to be in loving service for others. And sometimes that calling may be distinct and specific, calling us by name as it was for the little boy, Samuel. Yet perhaps more often we are invited to respond to God's calling simply by showing up and sharing in the work and worship of our faith community. Because it is together in relationship how we learn to live out our shared calling, grounded in the awareness that we belong to God and that we are fully known and fully loved. As the psalmist sings the words, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me." These words almost take my breath away. They express such an intimacy and a familiarity with a loving God who knows every aspect of the psalmist's existence. I mean, just imagine. The same God who created the oceans and mountains and galaxies breathed life into you and into me and into each one of us creatively, uniquely, and with a love that has been present since the very moment of creation. You know, our creation story teaches us that all of humankind has been created in the image and likeness of God. And God declared indeed that we are good. We are bearers of the image of God. What in theological terms is referred to as the Imago Dei. And what that means is that we are a reflection, like a reflection in a mirror of God. And Brian McLaren describes in his book, We Make the Road by Walking, by speaking about it this way. Women and men, girls and boys, toddlers and seniors and teenagers, rich or poor, popular or misunderstood, powerful or vulnerable, whatever our religion or race or marital status, whatever our nationality or culture, we all bear God's image, no exceptions. Like God, we experience life through relationships, and like God, we experience love through our complementary differences. Like God, we can be who we are without fear. Every bit of who we are, our physical, biological, mental, emotional, intellectual, spiritual selves, are a reflection of God's wisdom and love and creativity. And each one of us has the potential to be reflections of God's love to the world around us. That was God's idea from the very beginning. God knows us intimately and loves each of us completely in all of our uniqueness. Now, admittedly, this omniscience, this all-knowing nature of God may feel overwhelming or intimidating. To be fully known means that all my failures, all my shortcomings, all my qualities, whether good or bad, my questions, everything is laid bare, leaving me to feel vulnerable to being rejected. But God's watchfulness here is not the punitive scrutiny of a wrathful judge just waiting to condemn me. Instead, it's the watchfulness of a loving parent. Theologian Tom Long expresses it this way. What good parents have not tucked their children in at night and listened in the morning for the sounds of their rising? What good parents have not pulled back the curtains on the bedroom window and watched anxiously for the return of the teenage child late at night? This God watches over us from heaven to Sheol, and we cannot flee from God's presence. But this all-seeing, all-present God does not pursue us to catch us in iniquity and to punish, but like a good parent, to protect and guide us. We know that God can be trusted to have such knowledge about us, and only God is wise enough and compassionate enough and forgiving and gracious enough to know all our faults and failings and still be our faithful and loving God. Tom Long continued by saying it this way. He said, this is an ode to grace, a celebration of God's hesed, or loving kindness. And the psalmist continues to sing these words, for it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. I was first taught the words of this psalm when I was a young girl. Anne Cullen was a Christian educator and a good friend of our family, so she knew and loved me well. Anne saw the struggles and the rejections that I face as a child with a physical disability. And she understood in ways that I could not express how that made me doubt whether I belonged or whether I was even of much worth to God or anyone else. Anne introduced me to this psalm prayer and lovingly explained what it meant that God had knit me together in my mother's womb, to be known and loved and created uniquely as I am, even before my parents first held me in their arms and raised me. Even with legs that did not work in ways that other people's do, who God created me to be uniquely myself was a gift for me to cherish. And the same thing could be said for any one of us whose body or whose brain or whose parts may be perceived as different from the norm. It took me a long time to understand the grace of these words, though I am deeply grateful for Anne's gift that opened up the way for my searching. And the psalmist continues, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, for anyone who has ever had the blessing of holding a newly born baby in your arms, the universe stops. And I can think of no better prayer than these words to lift up on that baby's behalf. But I think a quick note about translation is warranted, because the Hebrew word here for fearfully is yareh, which has nothing to do with being scared or frightened. It means with a great reverence, heartfelt interest, and respect. Much like a feeling that comes over us, perhaps when standing in the midst of a magnificent cathedral or being perched at the top of Mount Rigi, above the cloud line with a 360-degree view of the mountain ranges below, or when holding a newborn baby. This word conveys a sense of astonishment and awe. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me when none of them as yet existed, the psalmist says. I come to the end and I am still with you. And in those words, the psalmist reminds us that this all-encompassing love of God is a love that is with us throughout our lives, in this life and into life eternal. From even before we take our first breath, God knows us and loves us, and that love never lets us go, even beyond the point that we take our last earthly breath. But I know that sometimes it becomes too easy for us to lose our connection to that promise. I mean, after all, life gets complicated. Love gets messy. Perhaps we can even admit that parts of ourselves begin to wither and dry up. Not unlike the image of the man with the withered hand in today's gospel reading. We get tired, discouraged, angry, hurt. But we're reminded that God's love through Jesus Christ heals and restores us, and today we are invited to reclaim that. We're invited to allow the assurance of God's love for you to loosen up whatever it is that's clenched up or withered, whatever it is that you may be holding back from God, who loves you fully. Know that you are fully known to God, fully loved, and that you were created out of God's love to be uniquely you, to be a bearer of God's image, and to receive God's love, and to creatively share that love with others. You know, living in the awareness of God's all-encompassing love is truly a gift. And so I invite you to receive this blessing from Bishop Desmond Tutu. Dear child of God, you are loved with a love that nothing can shake, a love that loved you long before you were created, a love that will be there long after everything has disappeared. You are precious, with a preciousness that is totally quite immeasurable. And God wants you to be like God, filled with life and goodness and laughter and joy. God, who is forever pouring out God's whole being from all eternity, wants you to flourish. God wants you to be filled with joy and excitement and ever longing to be able to find what is so beautiful in God's creation. The compassion of so many, the caring, the sharing. And God says, please, my child, help me. Help me to spread love and laughter and joy and compassion. And you know what, my child? As you do this, hey, presto, you discover joy. Joy which you had not sought comes as the gift, as almost the reward for this non-self-regarding caring for others. Amen.